So tonight we are going to speak on Srila Sanatan Goswami. Actually, recently when I was in Sweden, in Stockholm, some devotees requested me to write on different Vaishnavas, different associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually, I realized the need of a book, or at least some source from which devotees can get to know about the lives of different acharyas of our sampradaya, different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, I realized that I do not actually have the time to, especially when I'm traveling, I do not actually get the time to sit down and write a book as such, or even translate on from Bengali to English. So I decided to give classes in the evening on different Vaishnava acharyas, and the other day I gave a class on Srila Rupa Goswami, who is actually our Param Gurudev, our main link with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are Rupanuga Vaishnavas. And as soon as, the moment you talk about Rupa Goswami, immediately Sanatan Goswami also comes in the picture, because Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are inseparable. Like Rup Sanatan, they're two, not only they're two brothers, they're also the leading Goswamis of Vrindavan, the leading associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today we decided to discuss on Srila Sanatan Goswami. I'm sure everybody knows here that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were brothers, and Sanatan Goswami actually was the elder brother and Rupa Goswami was younger. But Rupa Goswami joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Sanatan Goswami, and although Sanatan Goswami was elder brother, when we talk about them, Rupa Goswami's name comes before Sanatan Goswami. There are many theories about that, why Rupa Goswami's name comes first. One theory is that Rupa Goswami joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Sanatan Goswami. So in this regard, Rupa Goswami was senior to Sanatan Goswami. And another understanding is that in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Rupa Goswami played a very, very important role. And actually Rupa Goswami is the Roshacharya. He is the acharya who, through him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the understanding of the mellows of devotional service, which is the very foundation of Krishna prem, love of Godhead. Anyway, we don't really go so deep into those details, but both of them, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, both of them are very intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in their before they joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were great personalities also. They were the ministers of the Muslim Nawab, the king of Bengal of that time. Actually, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are born in a very elevated Karnataka Brahmin family. And although their family were Brahmins, but actually their ancestors were kings. They were actually from a royal family. And Rupa Goswami's father, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami's father's name was Sri Kumar Dev. He was a very learned scholar, a great Brahmin scholar, and he had many sons and daughters, but out of them, three were great devotees, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Anupam, the father of Jiva Goswami. Rupa Goswami's name was Amar Dev, Sanatana Goswami's name was Santosh Dev, and Anupam was their other brother. And they were great, they were coming from Brahmin family, but they were very intelligent, and they were so their glories became pretty widespread. They became very famous for their intelligence and learning. So the Muslim king of that time wanted them to become his ministers, join his court. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami accepted that position, not for any other reason, but otherwise the Muslim king would have become very tyrannical. Actually, these Muslim kings in India were very tyrannical, and if somebody did not comply with their desire, then they wouldn't even hesitate to kill them. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami accepted the service of the Muslim king, and when they accepted the service of a Muslim king, the Hindu society at that time, the Brahmins of the of that time, rejected Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and ostracized them from the Brahmin community or Hindu society. And they considered them as Muslims because they accepted the service of a Muslim king. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami also were so humble that they also accepted that humiliation, that they did not really make any endeavor to become recognized as a Hindu Brahmin. They also accepted that they became outcast, and they became like Muslims. But they did not give up the practice of Vedic culture or practice of the Vedic rituals. They used to regularly study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and sometimes some learned Brahmins used to come to their house, and they used to receive them with great honor and discuss with them about the spiritual subjects. And actually Sanatana Goswami became very fond of Srimad Bhagavatam from his childhood, from his young days. Like one day Sanatana Goswami had a dream that a Brahmin came and gave him a Srimad Bhagavatam, and he instructed him to read that Bhagavatam regularly. But when Sanatana Goswami woke up, he found that it was only a dream. So he felt very bad that it was not actually a reality. But the next morning, after he worshipped the deities in the house, then a Brahmin appeared there and just offered him a Srimad Bhagavatam and told him to study that. And so Sanatana Goswami, he himself described that incident, and he wrote a shlok that in Krishna Lilastav, it says, Madeko bandhu, mad shangin, mad guru, man mahadhano, man nistaroko, mad bhaggo, madanando, namastute. He's describing Srimad Bhagavatam as Madeko bandhu, my only friend. Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend, my only companion, my spiritual master, mad guru, man mahadhana, my only possession. And this Bhagavatam is the means of my deliverance, And this is my good fortune, and this is the source of my joy. And I offer my humble obeisances to this Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see that they were such elevated personalities that from their very early age, they were displaying the signs of pure devotion. Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Anupam, all three of them were great devotees, and they became very attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, from their very childhood. And although they became the servants of the Muslim king, and due to that, the Hindu society of that time ostracized them, but still they did not give up their attachment to Krishna. And when they were the ministers of the king, actually Sanatana Goswami was the chief minister and Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. And accordingly, Sanatana Goswami's title was Dobir Khas. Dobir Khas means actually chief minister. And Rupa Goswami's title was Shakar Mallik. Shakar Mallik, kar means tax. And he was the in charge of the tax department or finance department. So Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. And at that time they got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they developed a great attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were waiting for the day when they would be able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then the news came that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And when they got the news, they were so heartbroken that both of them fainted right there. And because those days, when somebody took sannyas, nobody knew where they used to go, because they severed all relationship with everybody. And they just kept on traveling around. And those days there was no such advanced communication system like nowadays. So there was no way of knowing where they went. And in most cases, when somebody took sannyas, nobody actually saw them once again. Like we know that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, Vishwarup, took sannyas. And after he took sannyas, no one knew where he went. And that's why we do not really get to know what actually happened to Vishwarup. Only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in the western India, then he got to know that Vishwarup actually left his body at certain place. So that's about all we get to know about Vishwarup ever after he took sannyas. And so the same way, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami thought that they are not going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri and settled down there. And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami kept on writing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appealing to him for delivering them. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally, on his way to Vrindavan, he came to Ramkeli, the capital of Bengal, where Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were residing. Mahaprabhu actually came just to deliver Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, there was thousands and thousands of people came following him. And the news reached the king, Nawab Hussain Shah. And Hussain Shah got very worried. He wondered who this person is, that so many people are following him. So he asked his general, Keshav Chhatri. He was also another Hindu. So he asked Keshav Chhatri to find out who is this sannyasi and why so many people are following him. So Keshav Chhatri became worried that if he became alarmed that if the Nawab got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, then probably Nawab will cause some harm to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went and told the Nawab that actually just a poor mendicant is traveling and 3-4 people are just following him. But Husain Shah, the king, he did not accept that statement of Keshav Chhatri. He said, no, how can you say only 3-4 people are following him? I know that there are thousands and thousands of people are following him. So he asked Sanatana Goswami, who is this person and why so many people are following him? So Sanatana Goswami replied that the one who gave you your kingdom, one who made you the king, by your good fortune, he has appeared in your kingdom. So please recognize your good fortune and recognize this great personality as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And so Husain Shah, he was actually a very intelligent and wise man. So he immediately understood the statement of Sanatana Goswami. And he responded by saying that binadane ato lok jar pache hoy shei to goshai iha janiho nishchay. He said, this person is not giving any money or anything material to anybody, but still so many people are following him. So from this I can understand that this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he immediately instructed all his men, all his generals and other high-ranking government officials, not to cause any harm to this person. He said, offer him all the respect and let him travel around freely. So this is how Husain Shah responded to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that night, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They didn't go to meet him during the daytime because they were worried that there were so many people and they were very famous people themselves. So if they went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people would have been talking about it and that wouldn't have been nice. So at night when there was nobody around or very few people around, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shrupa and Sanatana Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they approached him very humbly, with straw in their mouth. They went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrendered themselves to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured them that very soon the Lord would deliver them. So this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. At that time Jiva Goswami was a little boy, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet on Jiva Goswami's head. And that's how Mahaprabhu blessed him in his childhood. And from this gesture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one could understand that Jiva Goswami was going to become a great Vaishnava Acharya in future. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, actually Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, but this time he didn't go to Vrindavan. He went up to Kanai Natshala, a place near the border of Bengal and Bihar. And from there, Mahaprabhu went back to Jagannath Puri. But after Mahaprabhu left Ramkeli village, Ramkeli, the capital of Bengal at that time, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami began to prepare to leave their household and become the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first thing they did was to send their family away in Bakla Chandradip, a place far away from that capital. They sent their family members away, and also they transferred their wealth. Actually, they were so rich that they filled up, one boat was filled with gold coins. And they transferred their wealth to Bakla Chandradip. And then after that, Rupa Goswami resigned from his ministership. And Rupa Goswami and Anupam together left for Vrindavan. Yeah, they actually got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri and he proceeded towards Vrindavan. So Rupa and Anupam left their home and proceeded towards Vrindavan. And on the way, they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, in Allahabad. And Sanatana Goswami stayed back. But then Sanatana Goswami also didn't want to remain in this materialistic activities. So he began to discuss the pastimes of Krishna and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with the learned brahmanas. So, and he stopped going to the court. He was absent. And he sent a message to the king that he was sick. So the king was actually very fond of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So the king got very worried and he sent the royal physician to check him up, Rajvaidya. And the physician came and checked Sanatana Goswami and he saw that there was nothing wrong with him. So he went and reported to the king that there was nothing was wrong with Sanatana Goswami's health. He was fine. So the king got very upset. So he came to Sanatana Goswami's house or Sanatana Goswami's palace. And he saw that Sanatana Goswami was sitting with a group of brahmanas and he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with them. The king got very angry. He said, "What's this? You are absent from your royal responsibility and you are just wasting time, stay sitting at home, pretending to be sick." So Sanatana Goswami then told him that he was actually sick and tired of his royal responsibility and he wanted to resign. So the king said, king actually was so fond of Sanatana Goswami, he told him that, "Look, your elder brother is a bandit. He's a dacoit. He just goes around and plunders different countries. And you are the only sane person who is actually capable of maintaining the kingdom. So if you do not take care of the kingdom, then what is going to happen to this kingdom?" So Sanatana Goswami still would not accept. He still would not go back to his duty. So the king got very angry and he ordered the soldiers to arrest Sanatana Goswami. And so Sanatana Goswami was arrested. At that time the king was going to attack Puri. Puri is a province next south of Bengal, I'm sorry, Odisha, where Jagannath Puri is situated. He attacked the kingdom of Odisha, and so he arrested Sanatana Goswami and kept him in the prison till the time he came back from his invasion. So in the meantime, Sanatana Goswami was trying to run away from the prison, and he bribed the prison warden, the chief of the prison, and he bribed him 7,000 coins and he ran away. Actually the prison in charge let him loose, and Sanatana Goswami took the country road and proceeded towards Vrindavan with a servant called Ishan. So they were traveling for 2 days. They walked and then they came to a place and they decided to stop there for the night in a roadside resting place. It's a kind of a hotel. In those days, of course, there was no hotel, but some people used to keep a place where the travelers could take rest. And Sanatana Goswami stopped there. And the man who was actually the innkeeper, he was actually a dacoit. He had an astrologer who could calculate how much money one was carrying, and if somebody was carrying a lot of money, then this bhuya, this landlord, would kill him and take away his money. So this man, the innkeeper, treated Sanatan Goswami very nicely. Said, "Oh, please take rest and go take your bath, and then come and cook and eat nicely, and then take rest." So then Sanatan Goswami at first was very pleased that this man is so nice, he is inviting me so respectfully and cordially. But when he went to take bath, then he wondered that after all I'm looking like a beggar, completely tired, and my clothes that I'm wearing are completely worn out. So why this man is showing me so much respect? So he was actually a minister, so he had a very sharp reasoning mind. So he began to think that when he wondered why this man was actually respecting him, although he was nothing but a beggar. So he asked his servant Ishan whether he was carrying any money. So Ishan said yes, he had 7 gold coins with him. So Sanatana Goswami went to the bhuya, the innkeeper, and told him that actually I'm very happy that you treated me so nicely. Now, you see, I am traveling to go to Vrindavan, but I cannot travel through the main road because I am a political prisoner. So if they get to know, so there is a chance of finding out that I'm traveling in this way, so they may catch me. So I want to go across the mountain to the other side. So can you please help me? And I have these 7 gold coins. So you take these 7 gold coins, and in exchange, you help me go across the mountain. So then the bhuya became very moved, and he refused to take the money. And he said, "I can see that you are a very honest man. You are a very nice person. So I will help you go across the mountain, but you don't have to give me the money." But Sanatana Goswami said, "Actually, this money is a big impediment. Like, so be my friend, take the money. Otherwise, somebody may even kill me for the sake of this money." So then he forced this man to take the 7 gold coins, and the man sent 4 of his soldiers with Sanatana Goswami to go across the hill, go across the mountain through the forest path. So Sanatana Goswami this way crossed the border of Bengal, came to Bihar, and this bhuya actually said that I knew that you have 8 gold coins, and as a matter of fact, because of that I would have killed you tonight to take that gold coin from you, but I can see that you are a very honest man. So actually by my good fortune, did not commit such a great crime of killing a person like you. Anyway, so Sanatana Goswami got to know that actually Ishan didn't have 7 gold coins, but he had actually 8 gold coins. So after they went across the mountain, then he asked Ishan, "So do you have any more gold coins?" So Ishan said, "Yes, I have 1 more gold coin." So he said, "Okay, you take that gold coin and go back home." And Sanatana Goswami, for horses, the people used to come from different places, and horses used to be auctioned in the market of Hajipur. And Srikanta used to buy horses and ship them to, dispatch them to the king of Bengal, Husain Shah. So when Sanatana Goswami was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, Srikanta saw Sanatana Goswami, who actually looked like a Muslim beggar called Fakir or Darbesh, because he had long beard and he looked like a Muslim. Generally Hindus don't keep beard, and only the Muslims used to keep beard, long beard like that. So Srikanta immediately sent men and called Sanatana Goswami and invited Sanatana Goswami to stay at his house for a few days. But Sanatana Goswami told him everything that happened, that he ran away, how the king imprisoned him and how he ran away from the prison, and now he was going to Vrindavan. So he didn't want to stay there any longer, he just wanted to carry on. And Sanatana Goswami, at that time it was cold, and Sanatana Goswami didn't have any warm clothes, so Srikanta gave him a very expensive blanket. So Sanatana Goswami accepted that, and he kept on walking. And when he came to Benares, he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, staying in the house of Tapan Mishra. So Sanatana Goswami went to Tapan Mishra's house, but he did not want to go inside. He was just waiting outside.
Был опубликован проект Конституции, которая предусматривает, что республиканское правление.
In a very humble mood, Sanatana Goswami was sitting outside, waiting for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come out, and then he would offer him his obeisances. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from inside, he realized that Sanatana Goswami came. So he sent Tapan Mishra outside, told him that go, there is a great Vaishnav waiting outside, you just call him in. So Tapan Mishra came out, and he couldn't find any Vaishnav. He saw a person who has long beard, and the cloth that he was wearing was rather dirty, and so he could not recognize him as a great Vaishnav. So he went inside and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I couldn't see any Vaishnava outside. So Mahaprabhu asked, well, is there anybody outside? He said, yes, there is a darvesh, there is a Muslim mendicant. So he said, okay, call him, ask him to come in. So he brought Sanatana Goswami in the inn, and immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and embraced Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami, he said, please don't touch me. I am so impure, I am so unclean. Then Mahaprabhu said, I am actually touching you in order to purify myself. With your devotion, you can deliver the whole universe. Tomas porshi atmo povitrite bhakti vale paro tumi brahmando shodhite. I am touching you in order to purify myself, because with your devotion you can deliver the whole universe. So this is how Mahaprabhu greeted Sanatana Goswami and introduced Sanatana Goswami to Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra. So and that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar to take him and to the Ganges and make him civilized, bhadrobesh. So Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami went with Chandrasekhar to the bank of the Ganges and took a bath, and then he shaved up and put tilak and kantimala, and then Chandrasekhar gave him a new cloth, new dhoti. But Mahaprabhu, but Sanatana Goswami didn't want to accept that. He said, give me an old cloth. So he took an old cloth, and then with that old cloth he made a dhoti, bohirbash, and kopin. And then he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Sanatana Goswami dressed like a Vaishnav or appearing like a Vaishnav. But Sanatana Goswami still had that very expensive blanket. So Mahaprabhu just looked at the blanket, and just by Mahaprabhu's glance at his blanket, Sanatana Goswami could understand, and he immediately went out, and he went to the Ganges, on the bank of the Ganges, and he saw there was a Bengali Vaishnav. He just washed his worn-out quilt. In Bengal, they stitch old clothes together and make it a quilt called kantha, like kopi no kantha shritau. So Sanatana Goswami asked that Bengali Vaishnav that asked him whether he would exchange his worn-out quilt for his blanket. So that man at first thought that Sanatana Goswami was making fun of him. He said, "Look, by appearance you look like a gentleman, but why are you making fun of me like this? It's not very nice of you." But Sanatana Goswami convinced him. He said, "No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm not joking. Actually, I mean it. So please take my blanket and give me your worn-out quilt." So Sanatana Goswami took that quilt, and when he went back, then Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He said, "Sanatana, the last string of attachment that you had, Krishna very mercifully delivered you even from that attachment." So Krishna is a great physician. He cured your disease. Now there was some speck of disease still left, so Krishna very mercifully has cured that too. And this is how Sanatana Goswami was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to instruct him on... Then Sanatana Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Ke ami amare kane jare tapotroy?" Who am I and why am I suffering the threefold miseries in this material nature? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sanatana, actually you know the answer, but just in order to confirm for the sake of others, so in order to convince others, you are asking this question." So then Mahaprabhu began to instruct him. The first thing Mahaprabhu told him, that jiver sharup hai krishner nitya dash, krishner tatastha shakti bheda bhed prakash. The real identity of a living entity is that he is a spirit soul and he is Krishna's eternal servant. The sarup of a jiva, of a living entity, is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. And Krishna tatastha shakti bheda bhed prakash. A jiva, a living entity, is Krishna's marginal potency. And being a marginal potency, it is simultaneously same and different from Krishna. Bhed and abhed prakash. And then Mahaprabhu said that Krishna is like a sun, Krishna surya samo maya hai andhokar, jaha Krishna taha nahi mayar odhikar. Krishna is like sun and maya is like darkness. So wherever the Krishna, wherever the sun appears, maya, darkness, cannot be there. So when the jiva becomes Krishna conscious, then he immediately becomes free from the influence of maya or ignorance that he is, that is the cause of his bondage in the material nature. And Mahaprabhu explained this way, that there are three considerations. The living entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna's eternal, Krishna's external energy. That is Chit Shakti, Jeev Shakti, and Maya Shakti. The spiritual energy, the living entities, and the material nature. So these are the three energies of Krishna. One is internal potency, the Chit Shakti, and the other is external potency, Maya Shakti. And in between this internal and external potency, there is a marginal potency, and that is the living entities. And then Mahaprabhu explained the three aspects of spiritual knowledge: Sambandha, Obhidheya, and Prayojan. Sambandha means living entities' eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obhidheya is the means to become related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. Obhidheya is devotional service. And Prayojan, our eternal need, is Ananda or Krishna Prem. Prem Prayojan. Our eternal need, our actual need, is love of Godhead, love for Krishna. And that love for Krishna gives us the joy that we all are searching for, we all are looking for. And then Mahaprabhu explained that sadhan bhakti has two aspects, vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti, the devotional service and practice, and spontaneous devotional service. In the beginning, we are practicing to be situated on the devotional platform, but then gradually our spontaneous devotion from our heart awakens, and that stage is called spontaneous devotion or Raganuga Bhakti. And then Mahaprabhu explained that devotional service and practice or Vaidhi Bhakti has 64 angos or 64 parts. Out of them, five are most important. Those five are association of the devotees, Sadhu Sangha, then Naam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord, then Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vash, residing in Mathura, and Sri Murti Seva, worshipping the deity. So out of this 64 or 64 aspects of devotion, five are most important. And then he instructed Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan and write scriptures and discover or discover the lost places of Krishna's pastimes, Lupto Tirtho Uddhar. So Mahaprabhu then, instructing Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu left Benares and started for Jagannath Puri. And Sanatana Goswami started for, he just left for Vrindavan. So he stayed mainly Lokanath Goswami and Subuddhi Rai. He also went to Jagannath Puri. And on the way in Jharikhanda forest, he took bath in a pond. And that water of that pond was actually poisonous. And Mahaprabhu developed, Sanatana Goswami developed some ulcer in his body. It was scratching and pus was oozing out of that wound. And so this way he arrived in Jagannath Puri. And as soon as Mahaprabhu saw him, Mahaprabhu went to embrace him, but Sanatana Goswami ran away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this way, whenever Sanatana Goswami had come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would want to embrace him. And Sanatana Goswami began to feel very bad that he has this ulcer, and in spite of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to embrace him. So he decided to give up his body under the wheels of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. And when he was planning that way, that during the Ratha Jatra, he would just give up his body under the wheels of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. Mahaprabhu could understand his mind because he is the super soul himself. So Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, he actually chastised Sanatana Goswami, said, Sanatana, actually you have given your body to me and you don't have any right over this body. Like you do not have any right to kill this body or to destroy this body. It's mine. So this way he instructed Sanatana Goswami not to give up his body like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami. And as soon as he embraced him, then all the ulcers disappeared and his body became completely divine, effulgent. And another pastimes during that time was, one day Gadadhar Pandit invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami for lunch. So Mahaprabhu was waiting, and then Sanatana Goswami came there, and he was a little late, and it was the summer time. It was very, very hot. So Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana, what happened? Why are you so late? So Sanatana Goswami said that, no, Mahaprabhu asked, which way did you come? And Sanatana Goswami said that he came by the beach, over the walking over the sand, hot sand. So Mahaprabhu asked why he walked that way. So Sanatana Goswami replied that he did not come by the main road in front of Jagannath temple, because all the pujaris and brahmins, they walk by that road, and Sanatana Goswami was apprehensive that if by chance he touched them or they had any contact with his body, then they would have become impure. So he did not go by that road. Instead of that, he walked through this very hot, sandy road by the ocean. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that Sanatana Goswami developed some blisters in his feet. So Mahaprabhu, through these pastimes, we could see that how humble Sanatana Goswami was. Like, he was one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he never thought himself to be a great person. He always thought himself to be absolutely unqualified. And not only unqualified, he thought himself to be completely contaminated. So contaminated that that not only did he refrain from entering into Jagannath temple, abstained from entering into Jagannath temple, but he didn't even walk by the road in front of the temple with a fear that by his contact the pujaris of Lord Jagannath may become contaminated. But Mahaprabhu recognized Sanatana Goswami as his most intimate associates. Then another pastime at that time was, Sanatana Goswami one day told Jagadananda Pandit that Mahaprabhu wants to embrace him, although he feels very contaminated. So what he should do? So Jagadananda Pandit said, in that case I think you should go back to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu got to know about that, and he got very angry, and he chastised Jagadananda Pandit. He said that Jaga, he is just a rascal. he dares to give advice to Sanatana Goswami, who is so much superior to him. And when Sanatana Goswami got to know about that, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually you consider Jagadananda Pandit to be very intimate, very dear, very close to you. That's why you chastised him. But for me, you simply have nice praises. But actually a person who is very intimate, he only receives the chastising. But for distant people, one offers nice praises. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then consoled Sanatan Goswami that that was not the fact. And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Jagadananda Pandit to Navadvip after that. And of course later on Jagadananda Pandit was sent to Vrindavan also. But Mahaprabhu instructed Jagadananda Pandit not to criticize, because Jagadananda Pandit's nature was very critical sometimes. He used to criticize even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu warned him that you go to Vrindavan but don't criticize anyone, because be very careful how you deal with the Brajavasis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Then after that, Sanatana Goswami went back to Vrindavan after the Rath Yatra festival. And one day Sanatana Goswami used to live in Vrindavan. Those days Vrindavan was just a forest. And he used to go every 2-3 days to Mathura to beg, called Madhukori, collect some food grains and vegetables for, just some food grains he used to beg for his maintenance. So one day Sanatana Goswami was walking by and one little boy came to him. He said, I want to go with you. So he said, well, I don't have any shelter, I don't have any place to stay, I don't have even any food to eat. So what shall you do with, what is the use of going with me? You better stay with your parents. So the boy kept on insisting, no, I want to go with you. Wherever you go, I'll go with you. Wherever you stay, I'll stay with you. And whatever you offer me, I'll be satisfied with that. So Sanatana Goswami persuaded the boy and then finally let the boy go back. And then that night Sanatana Goswami Sanatana Goswami dreamt that Krishna appeared to him and told him that I want to come to you, why are you pushing me away like this? So, and then that boy appeared to him in the form of Madan Gopal. Krishna appeared to him as Madan Mohan deity. And so Madan Mohan was staying with Sanatana Goswami, but Sanatana Goswami used to feel very bad that he doesn't have much to offer. He just offer him some dry chapati, that also without any salt, no vegetables. So Madan Gopal, Madan Mohanji could understand that Sanatana wants to serve him with great opulence. So he made some arrangements. Like one day, a boat got stuck in the river. The boat of a businessman, he was carrying different commodities in a boat, and the boat got stuck in the river and nothing could move the boat. So this man got to know that there was a great sadhu, great saintly person residing there in the forest. So he approached that person, that was Sanatana Goswami, and requested him to help him release the boat that got stuck in the river. So Sanatana Goswami said, look, I can't do anything about that, but you go and pray to this boy, Madan Gopal, and if he wants, maybe he can do something. So, and that's what happened. Right after he prayed, there was a huge storm and rain, and the water level rose in the river and the boat began to move again. So this man was so happy, so he took a vow at that time that whatever profit he makes out of this deal, he would use that to build a temple for Madan Gopal. And so this man, Krishnadas Kapoor, built the temple of Madan Mohanji that we see in Vrindavan. And so there are such small pastimes, many other pastimes. I mean, today is already quite late, so I think I should stop now. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Oh, he was the minister. Sanatan Goswami was the minister of the king of Bengal. So he was very, very rich. Because he was a minister. Yeah, yeah. Actually, those days, India was the richest country in the world. Like, Columbus set out to discover India, the waterway to India. Why? Because everybody was eager to have a trade relationship with India. India was actually a very, very rich country. And in India, at that time, Bengal was the richest area. Actually, the way the king used to live in Maldaho, Gaur, that's the name of that capital of Bengal of that time. The city, the inner part of the city was walled. There was a wall around the city. And unless and until one had 100,000 coins, unless and until one had 100,000 coins, he could not live inside the wall. He had to live outside. So you can well imagine how rich those people must have been. And they had so much money, but things were very cheap those days. Like price of rice was 2 paisa a kilo. Not even 2 paisa, I'm sorry. 2.5 mon was for 100, for 64 paisa. 100, yeah. It's about 2 kilos of rice for 1 paisa. 1 paisa is 1/20th of a penny, right? 20 paisas make 1 penny, 1 pence. So things are so cheap in India. Anyway, yes, India had a lot of gold. Yeah. When the king came back, he was informed that Sanatan Goswami actually went to Pastul by the bank of the river, and then he fell into the river with his hand and feet tied with the iron chain. And so that's what the prison in charge reported to the king. And he got swept away and they couldn't find him anywhere. So probably he was drowned. So the king was informed that he was actually drowned in the river. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhupada.